The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Question, episode 240-2. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Rap snacks.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up, what up?
And Adam Vale.
What's the word, humans?
Mr. Street Fighter champion over here.
You know? And wait, don't worry, you're going to see me Evo on posters and shit. I'm probably going to be that fool, and that's going to be me.
That's crazy, man. Oh, hello, Jossie. Oh, man. All right, I'm not wasting any time. Let's get into it. We got some questions, baby. All right, first up, Mr. Annihilator 83. I'm thinking about getting a gaming PC next generation. As a console gamer, what are the pros and cons of a PC, and how much do I need to spend to start? Ooh, where's Brian, man? You don't need too much money.
We got three people in the technology industry in this room right now.
And a motherfucker that actually bought a gaming PC. So, you know, we'll go. I'll start with the technology guys first. I'm going to pick somebody at random. Carlos.
So, it just really depends on what you're trying to do with the PC. Like, are you trying to get the high-end specs? Are you trying to just get something that's passable? What kind of monitor do you want to play in? Do you want to play in 2K, 4K? So, like, when it comes to the budget, your budget can go from something crazy like $2,000 to $3,000 to something...
Sky's the limit, man.
$700-$800 maybe. The only issue right now with sort of PC gaming right now is a graphics cards. Those graphics cards are going to cost you way more than MSRP because
could people, be like $2,000.
Yep, people buy it. People keep buying those shits to do their freaking data mining and shit, and they run up the prices. So it can get pretty complicated when it comes to PC gaming. If you like the simplicity of console gaming and you think that's something that you really cherish, then I would say stick with console gaming. If you don't mind just learning about stuff like firmware updates to your GPU or just different things, because there could be different issues with the PC, not as much as it used to be, but you know, sometimes you just run across different things. So if you're not that much of a tech person, then there might be sort of a barrier for you to like.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, there's a learning curve, but in contrast, it's like you're not only getting a gaming machine, you're also getting a working station if you do anything on the PC that requires anything, you know. So video you have some editing and stuff, yeah. Video editing. You can. I mean, for me, like compiling and running code, and you know,
if you do art like myself and Brett and Chris. You can run a lot of those heavy programs like Photoshop or you know, yeah, the other ones.
Yeah, the graphic card will benefit more than just gaming.
Yeah, so you have a machine that not only works for one thing. That's one of the things that's cool about it. You have a multifaceted machine that can do so many things, and even just web browsing and stuff like that. You have something like that, so it's multi-purpose. And for me, one of the things I like about it is. Not only do, for example, the PC that I'm using right now to where everyone's in the Google Hangouts and stuff, and I have my Twitch chat open, I have the Google Hangouts open. If I want, I can pop up a game right next to it because I have a 3-monitor setup. And so it's a base station for a hub for everything that you want to do. So yeah, that's just some of the pros and cons. And like people are mentioning. Console gaming, the pricing is probably going to go up. It might not be as cheap as it used to be. So that's some of the things that you have to take into account.
Chris, what do you say?
I'd say
Well, I'm going to assume that the person who asked this question already has a PC. They just have a gaming PC, right? So they probably know the ins and outs of using Windows and all that stuff. So getting a gaming PC, the pro is, like Carlos said, you can do a lot more with it than just game on it. You know, it's all sort of productivity tools you could do. If you compose music, if you do art, if you design graphics, if you, you know, all sorts of stuff. Even if you just use Excel or whatever and just, you know, run numbers and do all this shit. So you could do all sorts of stuff with it. The cons is it's cost prohibitive over a console. A console is never going to be in the over $1,000. Like a PC, gaming PCs can run up like into the stratosphere, depending on the hardware you get. I'm also going to assume that you don't want to build your own PC, where that's where you could cut some of the cost out if you spec out parts yourself and put it together. But that can be very frustrating. That's a huge learning curve to do the hardware. And if you mess something up where something is defective, when you get it, then you have to RMA it. You have to deal with manufacturers and all this shit. So it's probably better to buy it. But and there's some companies that are better than others at putting together PC. I have a CyberPower PC. I've had good luck with it. Brett has had bad luck with it. He doesn't like that company. I do. I've upgraded my PC a bunch of times. I built a bunch myself. So I think the other con is, like, with console hardware, it's just one piece of hardware, right? So everything is going to run on it. You're never going to have an issue where you buy a game unless, like, the developer completely fucked up, that the game is not going to work on your hardware because you decided to buy an ATI card versus an NVIDIA card or vice versa. Like, you'll never have that issue.
Well, Batman, Dark Knight, remember? That shit didn't
work. On PC, it didn't work. Yeah. If you had an ATI card, it was like too bad luck, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you have those issues on PC. And Warner Brothers was notorious. Like, Mortal Kombat 10 also had humongous issues on PC. And they just said, what are you going to do? Play it on a console. So, you know, so you'll get that. But you'll have your pick of games like Steam and GOG and all this. It's full of stuff. The library there is tremendous. And you have access to, like, thousands of games, even going back to the 90s, you could get PC games, so you have that at your fingertips. Whereas console, like, if you want to go play a PS1 game, like, you got to go to a classic game store, eBay or whatever, to buy it. You know, you don't have that kind of access. Not if Sony decides to grace you with it, it's on this PSN. But if they can't get the license, then it's lost to time. You know, so those are, I think, the major things, and it's going to depend on mostly on your budget, right? How much money you're willing to spend. If you say, hey, I could, my cap is $2,000, right? Then you could get a fantastic PC. But if he's like, I I'm really used to console prices. I can only spend maybe at most $800, $900. Then the budget gaming PC is not, you're not going to be able to do too much with it, but you might be able to squeeze something out of it that you can play most of the modern stuff.
All right, Adam, what do you say?
Yeah, it's pretty much everything's already been said now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys did a good job of it.
That's pretty much it. I mean, also, if it's a project, it's a project. If you want a project, there you go. If you don't want a project, stick with consoles.
Also, cool. One of the things that's pretty important for a lot of gamers is sort of the ecosystems. Where do your friends play? Do you care about playing with other people? Because there's a lot of people that just hang out in the PSN chats and Xbox Live chats, and they play their Divisions and Call of Duties and stuff like that. So if that's important to you, then I say you should just stick to consoles. But if not, if you don't really care about that kind of stuff and you just like to play on your own or maybe some of your friends have PCs, then that's another way to do it. One of the underrated aspects about PC gaming, at least for me, is I've been building PCs since I was in high school. And every time I build a PC, it's there's nothing like it, man. It's pretty satisfying, like, picking up all the parts, getting them all together. Feels like Christmas. You get to build it all, and you start it. Sometimes you have issues. Sometimes it starts in the first try, but once it starts working, it's a machine that you built, and it can last a long time if you build a good one. Like my PC, I think I've had this PC for 2 years, I think, and it's better than most PCs out there. So like there might be iterations every couple of months for different parts, but it'll last you a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one I have now, which I had Micro Center built because I wasn't about to do that myself. 4 years now. It's still kicking. Still doing a great job. It did cost me a pretty penny, though, around $3,000 altogether. But I didn't buy it for gaming. I bought it for video editing and shit. You know, all this right now, you see all this? It's all for you guys, you know? Because I still needed a beefy PC even for streaming and all that, because OBS takes a lot of resources, you know? But yeah, like, you know, everything these guys said was pretty much on point, you know? Like, but I think that the main one is like, yeah, you're not just getting a gaming PC, you're getting a big fucking system to do a lot of stuff. So if you're into a lot of other things, it'll definitely be worth it, you know. And also, you know, and Brian would bring this up, you know, if you're on Steam, there's a lot of sales. You get a lot of games real cheap. That's a benefit for PC gaming as
no
well.
No Nintendo tax.
If you're a patient gamer, you could with $100, you could buy a shit ton of games. Think about that, you know. Like,
you'll find a lot of games that are not even on consoles, like Bionic Commando. The first one that's on Steam.
Well, that's something I'm glad you bring it up. You know, we're not for it or endorsing it, but emulation, if you want to place old shit, like old shit from back in the day, that's not available on consoles, PC, you could do that with. There's a lot of stuff out there, you know?
And backwards compatibility.
Yeah, exactly. Like pure backwards compatibility. You know, you can play PC games from the 80s, you know, if they're available, of course. But yeah, that's like not even a barrier, you know. So it is a different beast, though. Like, I gave PC gaming like a big, I still play PC games, don't get me wrong. I gave it a big shot during like one summer, you know, 2015, when I got my gaming PC. I'm like, yo, this is fucking crazy, because the graphics were, you know, really cool and stuff. It wasn't too dissimilar from what I do, because I still play with a controller right in front of my TV. But then when I went back to console, I'm like, oh yeah, this is better, because it was just easier, you know. Even as easy as PC gaming is, it's still more of a workaround, you know, you know, than it is for console gaming. Because there's some people out there that's like, oh, you got to upgrade your, you got to update your drivers. Like, yo, that shit happens automatically. You don't even need to worry about
if you get an NVIDIA Experience.
Yeah, that's what mine does all the time. Like, yo, it's time for an update. I'm like, word, that's it, you know? Because people still say that, like, oh, you have to constantly update your drivers. Like, yes, yeah, you had to worry about that like 20 years ago or something. Like, now you're good, you know? Like, it'll tell you when you need to upgrade. But like this guy said, it's a project, it's money, you know, so keep that in mind. All right, let's move on here. Mr. Black Metal, a gamer. So his first question is, what game franchises that were popular had one game that killed the franchise? He goes, for example, Breath of Fire pretty much buried that franchise. So Breath of Fire 5.
Oh, okay.
So what was the one game, like from a good franchise, that killed the whole franchise?
Oh, that and the most recent thing I can think of is Mass Effect Andromeda.
I was thinking the same thing. Man. That thing bombed so bad. BioWare's like, yeah, you're not getting another one. You're good. Damn, that's bad right there. You know, I know there's other examples, but yeah.
Yeah, I think.
What?
Oh,
what was that?
I was gonna say. Yeah.
No, a part
I was gonna
of me
say.
Wants,
oh, okay.
Go.
I was going to say that a classic example before the Tomb Raider reboot, right? Angel of Darkness was so fucking bad on PlayStation. Like, that game killed Tomb Raider for years. Right?
Yeah, that was bad. I guess the 3D Bionic Commando.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But if they bring back the old side-scroll, people just take it. They're like, oh, yeah, okay. It's not going to put a bad taste in your mouth. Like, oh, no, I can't go back to that. Because unless they decide to continue that 3D.
Well, let's say they like they've been doing with the Marvel versus Capcom game, where they continuously keep using that dude from that game rather than just putting the one that everybody wants.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what are the games? You guys never played Rearmed. Well, we did play Rearmed. We're talking about that other Bionic Commando game, bro.
Yeah, we're talking about the one where you the actual see that's how much you remember that game.
Mm-hmm. It's the one with Mike Patton and the guy has dreads
and his wife is in his arm and shit, you know.
It's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's one from Sketch. He says Parasite Eve 3.
I mean, I feel like Parasite Eve 2 did it.
Damn.
It was kind of garbage.
I got one.
Uh oh. I already feel the controversy.
Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts.
Oh, damn. That's actually true.
But, you know, I mean, to be honest, like, it didn't do anything because the franchise had already kind of been dead in the water previously.
Yeah, but now it was buried, man.
Yeah, this was a burial, man.
I'll tell you one thing. I actually, this is a fun little side note on that game. When I was working in New York, we were actually developing a cartoon series based on Banjo-Kazooie at the same time that game was coming out. It was very close to being made, but
which Banjo game?
That game, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, Xbox 360.
By the way, Sketch, I don't think the last Legacy of Kain game counts because it didn't do bad. It's just they didn't follow up with that, you know? We're more looking for, like, bad games that killed the franchise.
Yeah, like one that just destroyed, like, it destroyed it so badly that you hadn't seen a game in years. Yeah,
like, you're not going to say Burnout Paradise killed the franchise, even though that was the last Burnout, because it did great, you know? We're not looking for those type of games.
It was still good.
We're talking about games that are like, yo, like, there's a reason we haven't seen these, because that last one was so bad.
Yeah, a part of me wants to say the Fallout 76, just because
still too early.
You know? Just for the world. I don't know if people, because you know, some of these elements are going to be incorporated in the next Fallout, and are people?
Well, gonna I mean, be that, like, that's a thing. You're already saying that there's going to be a next Fallout.
They're going to do another one, Fallout 5. They're different.
And it's not dead.
But it's dead. That meaning no one's going to give a shit. Dead, not to the publisher. No. They'll keep milking.
See, that's the big difference, because Fallout 76 is not officially considered part of the Fallout series. It's not a numbered Fallout game. It's a spin-off game. So officially, if they just went back to basics and made an old-school Fallout game, all the fans would be happy and come back.
Exactly, yeah. So we can.
But do you think they would do that? Because they'll come back in droves.
They'll come back in droves. Oh, yeah,
because that was the biggest complaints about Fallout 76. It wasn't Fallout.
I'm talking about the studio. Do you think that they would go back? Because it sounds like they want to take what they've learned from Fallout 76 to incorporate that into Fallout 5.
Here's the thing. Just because they want to take aspects of that thing doesn't exactly mean that they're going to be making. We're not going to see another Fallout 76. Let's just get that one clear.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that there's going to be other Fallout games. It's just that 76 game is probably not going to. Is it maybe if that was a franchise, but they never even sold it as a franchise.
So Fallout 76 killed Fallout 76.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, I think we're just squeezing turnips now. Next up here, of all the garbage collector's editions you may have owned or seen in general, what would you have remade into a treasure tier collector's edition so it didn't suck? So you're basically saying, what collector's edition that you know of or that you own, how would you have changed it to make it actually better? Chris, I already know what you're going to say. Dead Space, to make that fucking tool like actual life size.
Oh,
you know?
My God, yes. Make the gun not for baby hands, man. Like, yeah. That shit was like super tiny and the laser was weak. I had to hold it up against the wall like an inch away to see the beams.
Wow.
That was pathetic, damn. Man. Also, another one that was bad was Resident Evil 5, man. They gave you these little figures that would shatter if they even tipped over.
Wow. Yeah, like this comes from mine. I had mine sit, like, Jossie had her sitting on our little side table, and it just fell over on the floor, on a rug, a floor with a full carpeting, and it just shattered into pieces.
Damn.
And this is, I'm like, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you would just make it with better statues, right?
Yeah, make it better statues. Don't make it those dumb midget statues that they were making. Like they
were like an inch or two tall.
Yeah, like they show you in the ad that they look like they're big figures, right? But then you get it, and it's like it's this little tiny nothing figure.
Man. So what other collections would you have made better?
Oh, the Batman Arkham Asylum one?
What would you have done?
The Batarang?
With that shitty-ass fucking Batarang?
So how would you have made it better?
Oh, yeah, I would have made that fucking Batarang out of something better than cheapy plastic. And I would have been able, I would also made it come off the platform. So at least maybe you don't want people throwing it, but I would have made that shit come off the platform and fold up like his Batarang does in the game.
That would have been pretty awesome.
Two, the thing comes with an art book in like this really kind of cool like dossier sort of thing. But all it is lousy like CG licensing art. It's not even a real art book. That's my big. That's the one that goes for every game. Most games have these really shitty ass art books that they sell with these games. I'm like, guys, that's not a fucking art book. It's just licensing art.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Manny, when you say that, throw up the quotations for art.
you know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. The main point of you wanting to get an art book is not because you want to see the same shit they've been posting on everywhere, all over the place. You want to see some development stuff. You want to see some cool, designs. You want to see all that stuff. You don't want to just see the same bullshit that they have out there.
Yeah, exactly. The promo bullshit.
The promo war.
Yeah, Sketch says about those Resident Evil figure. Oh no, he goes the Darksiders one. The figure was all of 5 inches, and we're not even cast or painted. Well, damn. You hear those type of stories a lot too, man.
I would change the Halo 3 Master Chief helmet. Remember, it came with
make it wearable.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't wearable.
No,
they called it a cat.
I didn't. You know what? It was my fault because I couldn't understand. Did you understand when they called it a cat helmet?
Was it really a helmet for a cat?
No, but that's what they called it. They were like, oh, it's a cat helmet. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Because inside, it just had the little peg for the stand. So it's not like something for a cat or anything. I mean, it's so weird. I don't know.
I think it's more to do with the actual scale of it. Maybe that's what it was. So there was like they called it a cat helmet because it essentially is the size of a cat head.
That's what I'm thinking.
It looked like a real helmet, though, from the outside. But once you pick it up, you realize, oh, wait, I can't put this on even if I wanted to.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's just a display helmet that, did it. Unlike the Doom guys, they're actually making a friggin' Doom guy helmet.
Yo, man, how you gonna have a helmet called Cat Helmet? You can't even put that shit on your cat.
Damn. Well, yeah. I mean, wasn't there another version of the like a Master Chief thing that had that would help the game? Is that the same one?
That was Halo 3 that came with that.
Yeah, it had like a thing where it had like a slot, right, that you stuck it down into there.
Yeah, that was it.
And you pulled the slot out and then the game was in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam,
it was just a display helmet.
You got any other collector's editions? I don't remember the ones I bought, to be honest.
No, I just remember the good ones, because the bad ones, like you said, the Dead Space, that was disappointing. I remember I got that. The Halo one I got was disappointing. But I've had some good ones. The Grand Theft Auto 4 was awesome. The safe deposit box,
I remember that.
That was awesome. So, yeah, but a lot goes to the figures, trying to put the full size. Oh, wait, there was another one. It was a Call of...
Oh shit! What the fuck? Call. Wait, hold on, because we got Techno Fabulous in the house. Call of Duty. Adam, what fell, son? What the fuck?
My Game Boy.
What is it? The cat?
Oh no, not the Game Boy.
It fell. That was weird.
Was it a cat putting on the Halo helmet?
It was a remote control car that Halo had for theirs, and it didn't come with a controller. You had to use an app for it. And the distance radius was horrible. And I remember trying to control it, and I would send it off somewhere, and then I'd lose signal. It's what a pain in the ass. It was cheap shit.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on here. Roman Ronan in the house.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. He's popping up more and more, man. So when I asked about him a couple weeks ago, I was like, where's he been? And you guys answered, he was Roman. Right. So his question is, in franchises that you liked, what sequel do you think made the overall franchise better? And he goes, like GTA, Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect, stuff like that. Assassin's Creed 2 is the golden one.
Assassin's Creed, you said it.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2? What the
games,
fuck?
Man, games.
Carlos, you forgot what show you're in, man. What the fuck?
I thought it was in the movie Throwdown.
No, man. You went to the way back machine.
Throw down your popcorn.
Like, I'm thinking, like, with the fucking light gun game and shit. I don't remember the first one. Yeah.
Fallout.
Fallout 3?
Fallout 3, yeah. That one changed the game.
Yeah, Fallout.
Literally,
yeah.
It changed everything about Fallout.
It really did, yeah. Grand Theft Auto 3, let's just be real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? The thing about, I'm glad we could bring this up, right? Little bit of a tangent, but it's related to the question, right? Okay, you notice, the general rule of thumb is, like, sequels are never as good as the original, right? But for gaming, it's kind of the opposite. Sequels are usually better. Even if the story isn't better, the game is still better mechanically. You ever notice that trend?
Sometimes because there's larger budgets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, for example, you don't know how I feel about God of War 2. I do not like the game. Mechanically, it is a better game than God of War 1. You know, games usually get better in the second time because, you know, they have the same engine usually, and, you know, they bring that expertise over, you know?
Yeah, they fix what was broken and what didn't work, you know?
Yeah, Resident Evil 2, that's a good example, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Resident Evil 4 was better than that, you know? It's crazy. What other games do you... But the thing is, most sequels of games are better, you know?
I can't say there was a game that like didn't improve by a sequel.
There's some that were weird, Manny. Like example, Legend of Zelda 2 was kind of weird, you know.
Which one was it?
Legend of Zelda 2 was a little bit different than the original. That was kind of weird. But if you think about it, was it Link's the NES Zelda? What was the name of that one? Link's Awakening, right?
Link to the Past.
That's kind of more in line of a sequel to the first one, and that was better, you know. Super Metroid was better, you know. Yeah, you're right. Most sequels are, in games at least, are mechanically better. And going back to Andromeda, as shit as that game is, mechanically it is the best Mass Effect game. It plays amazing, you know. Story shitty though, you know. And the graphics, God.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I would say, Uncharted 2, you know, Mass Effect 2, there you go, that's another one. Titanfall 2, there you go, Sketch.
Yep,
Titanfall 2 is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Slap a 2 on it, it's already better, you know?
Yeah. I'd say,
I don't know.
90% of the time, you know?
I'd say...
3 is
it. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, we probably wouldn't have the stuff in Symphony of the Night if it wasn't for Castlevania 2.
Yes.
Because that was the first one that incorporated RPG stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm kind of taking this question more broadly because, you know, games even keep getting better even past 2, you know, like Symphony of the Night and incorporated all that shit they've learned before, you know. Yeah. Gaming is one of the few medias that's like, oh, yeah, the sequel's better. It's interesting.
I got another one, man.
Uh-oh, go for it,
man. And I'm ahead of the curve with this. The Last of Us 2. Is that gameplay?
That's right. Yo, man, Spider-Man 2 is better, you know? It's crazy. All right. Where the fuck are we? All right. Johnny W. Uppercut. Is it just me or have games from third-party studios this generation have been over... I did not edit this fucking question, did I? He just wants to know, is it just him or have games from third-party developers been underwhelming this generation? Bro, all games have been from every developer, you know? Yeah. This generation's, man. Come on, son.
Hey, what you forgot about Spider-Man? That's a damn good game.
It is a good game, but I'm talking about overall. We're not talking about, you know, just single games. Like, there's definitely been a lot of gems this generation, but I'm talking about overall... Yo, I'm going to say it right now. Hashtag Carlos was right. You know?
Oh, man.
Like, it's not just third parties, bro. This generation in general, man.
Yo, man, you're getting complacent.
Well, man, you like this generation better?
I don't think it's any better or worse than anything else. I
Damn. Hey, look, there's Brett.
Mr. Murdoch.
All right, he'll say something. I don't think he'll hear us. We'll hear him though, rattling and shit.
We'll hear that.
Hi, Brett.
Hey,
there he is.
I'm like, it's me,
man.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you showed up because we actually have a question directly for you a little bit later.
Nice.
But since you're here, Johnny W. Uppercut wants to know what games from third parties, you know, have been underwhelming this generation. I finished just saying all games have been kind of underwhelming this generation, no matter where they're coming from.
I thought Red Dead 2 was.
There you go. You can answer that. By the way, I need to stop the show right now. Brett, I'm digging your digs right now, man.
Gentleman's dig.
Fuck this. We're stopping the show right the fuck now. Look at this shit, man.
So you moved into a 1970s movie. Right.
Okay. One of the things I loved about this house when I saw it was this room reminds me so much of where I got my first Nintendo, and I used to spend hours and hours just sitting in front of a couch, like 5 feet from a or 4 feet from a TV, just cross-legged, just playing fucking Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
So, to work out my heydays. Plus, I got a fireplace.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, for the MP3 people, can you quickly, because you're really good with descriptions, can you quickly describe your background?
It looks like an old pub.
It really does. Oh man, fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's gonna look great in the, you know, from this shot, it's gonna look great in the winter. You have that fireplace on.
I know, right? I'm so excited. I haven't had a fireplace in so long, and it's a gas powered fireplace too.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you don't even need to worry about cleaning it.
Nope, I just fucking turn a key, boom, fire, like magic.
Nice. But yeah, for the question, it was just overall, he's saying are just third party games build it down. Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna say
Horizon. Although I have decided, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna give Horizon a second try.
Oh,
yeah. For those of you that don't know, I had lost my wife fairly recently before the game came out, so I was really just not happy with anything. Like everything sucked. Everything was terrible. So, mm-hmm. You know, and for those affected with depression, those they know what it's like. For those not, you kind of lose. Enthusiasm for the things that you used to love, and I was out of gaming. I told Tony, like, I could not get into a game until Breath of the Wild finally came out, and that's because it tugged so hard on my nostalgia, it kind of pulled me out a little bit. So I'm gonna go back and give Horizon a second shot, just because I want to make sure that I, as much as I did enjoy it, I want to make sure that I didn't enjoy it for the right reasons. Is it weird as that sounds?
No.
I'm one of those guys, like, I'll try anything once, twice if I don't like it, three times if it's Witcher, apparently. Yeah. So
I think also for a game like Horizon, it's not, I wouldn't, at least, you know, from, you know, I haven't played it, but at least from what I get, it doesn't look exactly fun. And I think that Breath of the Wild kind of emits that sort of, you know, fun sort of thrill of exploration sort of thing. You know, you don't, it's has a story, but it kind of lets you sort of kind of roam and create your own stories. And I feel like Horizon in general is like a lot of, you know, those the Sony titles where they kind of lead you down a path. Even if it isn't an open world, it's always going to keep, you know, just leading. Everything is going to emanate that same path. Like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. As opposed to Breath of the Wild, it was like, that's the bad guy over there. You know, you can go there when you get the chance.
Whenever you're feeling like it.
You're feeling like you can kill that thing, or you can just, you know, nothing will happen. The world is not going to get any worse. Just there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, to, like, I guess play the game through, like, unclouded eyes, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I think that's pretty good. You may not like it, but at least, you know, you would think you're being more fair to it now, you know?
Yeah, well, it's, I think it's, it's necessary that we go back every once in a while and challenge our biases. You know, I didn't like Dark Souls the first time I played it. It ended up being one of my favorite games. So sometimes you don't have the right kind of state of mind to be able to see the good in something. But that, I'm a big advocate of saying that doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that you yourself are not able to see it. Again, for those of you who don't know, I'm a big believer in objective truth. I think subjectivity is, for the most part, bullshit, even in terms of art. I think something is, a movie, a book, a game is objectively good or it's objectively bad. And it has a certain, that's a little black and white. A better way to put it would be it either has a lot of good in it or very little good in it. And that's kind of a circle right in the middle. And somebody can be standing on, you know, 5 feet to the left of the circle, and somebody could be standing 5 feet to the right of the circle being truth. And they could argue all day long, and both of them are wrong, and both of them are wrong from different points. And that's the problem with arguing, is that if you're arguing without having an open mind, then nothing's going to happen. What we all should be doing is using each other to help drag each other closer towards that center circle. So if they both sat down and agreed to discuss things until they made sense, there's a good chance that they could both pull each other into a middle point and happen to find themselves on objective truth. And I think we all stand there. We all stand different distances away from objective truth depending on where we are. You know, you can't see both sides of a sphere at the same time. That's normal, and that's framed by our point of view. And so basically it's kind of my responsibility to say, you know, I know, and I've always said Horizon isn't objectively a bad game. I see that there's good pieces in it, but I just don't see the good. And this is me saying that I think that there may be more good in there than I was able to see, and hopefully now I'm in a place that I can see it. But even if I don't like it, it doesn't mean that I think it's a bad game. It just means that it's just not something that I can interpret through my personal lens.
I definitely think that, yeah, like, sometimes some things don't come at the right time. Sometimes things are end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and like sometimes definitely going back and looking at it and just giving it a once over again and seeing if that initial impression that you had was, you know, right at the time.
Yeah.
I think Tony also said once, like, I forgot what game he was playing. I think it was Uncharted and Journey, yeah. Right?
No. Okay. I was waiting. Like, I'm waiting till Brett finishes, man. I could jump in here and say, because I agree with you, because sometimes you are not in the right space. I know that's probably a bad thing to say. You're not in the right headspace to appreciate a game for what it is, right? Basically, Journey had come out when Mass Effect 3 had come out, right? I am in full, I want to shoot fucking aliens mode, right? So I play Journey. I'm like, the fuck is the big deal about this game? He's running around the sand. This is kind of like, it's pretty, but I don't understand the point of this, right? I play it again during the summer. I'm like, oh shit, this is fucking amazing. Because I had an open mind. I wasn't thinking about anything. I wasn't going like, I want this type of experience. I just let the game do what it needed to do. And I was like, this is really cool. This is awesome, you know? But back when it originally came out, I was just like, no, I want to go fucking fight aliens. Fuck them. Like, that's all I want to do. Like, I don't want to go run with some little dude in the sand and shit. So it's definitely a good idea to revisit games. See, I'm on the flip side, right? Breath of the Wild, I can't say I didn't give the game a shot because I played it for like 70 hours and I beat the game, you know? But that, I think playing Horizon Zero Dawn before that fucked me up to some extent, because Horizon Zero Dawn is tailor-made for me. And then you have Breath of the Wild, which is more free open. It's like, I don't, just tell me where to go. I like, you know, I appreciated the prettiness and I love the puzzles and stuff, but it was from, and then I'm just being petty right now. The graphics were really fucking cheap compared to Horizon. Horizon was like, what the fuck am I watching? This is crazy, you know, but there's still that little part of me. It's like, yo, Tony, man, give Breath of the Wild another shot. And I may do that one day, you know?
Oh, I'm going to check it out on my TV.
I
agree with you. Oh, go ahead.
I got something new.
Oh, damn, what you got, man? And then
Brett cuts the camera B, and then it's like a projector.
Oh, fuck that. No. Brett, tell him what you told me. Tell him what you told me, man.
I got a QLED 7 series Samsung 75-inch 4K TV.
So you just assured yourself that every single PlayStation 4 game is going to look horrible on your screen.
Exactly. I told Tony, I was like, motherfucker, I need a pro now, but there is no way I'm buying a pro this late into the... I had to wait until PS5 comes out. And then for me personally, like, you'd be like, yo, bro, what do you think about the generation? They would be like, dude! Like, it wasn't really that big. Like, to me, it was.
Like, look into my eyes, man. Yep. You're bleeding, son. This is real right now.
This is what I do every time I get a new TV. And I did this when I got my 4K TV.
You calibrated that shit, man?
I didn't do that on the jump. I went to YouTube. I looked up for those fucking nature videos, and I just fucking watched them for fucking hours.
The 4K nature videos?
I hadn't even thought about doing that.
Yeah, man, do it.
Yeah, well, calibrate your TV first. I'm a big advocate. You didn't even watch it, right, Carlos? You got to calibrate this shit first.
Then you enjoy it, man. You got to calibrate it. Yeah, that's
turn that brightness down. Because
those factory settings are fucking horrible, you know?
Yeah.
Despite what Hip Hop Gamer says.
Yeah, he leaves this shit at factory setting.
Yeah, where it's like puts on motion flow.
motion flow and then 20 times brightness, where it like literally lights up your whole room.
Yeah, because they do that shit so it looks good on like in a store, right? Like, but that shit don't look good in your fucking room. You gotta adjust it for the lighting, man. You know. Anyway, where the fuck are we? Okay, next question: is there a game series that does not need to come back next generation? Salty fucking question, man.
I was actually gonna say that about Last of Us, but
not coming on this generation. So
how about The Order?
Oh.
Ooh. damn, Manny, that's five words.
Is it even a franchise? It only had one game. It's not a franchise if it only has one game.
Damn, Sketch. He said Metal Gear. Damn.
You know what?
You guys are getting salty in the comments. Thieves right now.
Here's the thing, Sketch. I agree with you. I don't think that Metal Gear needs to come back.
Oh, I agree. No, I just I agree.
Because here's the thing. Like, I think, just think about the way I think of it is, it's like, you know what? At this point in time, just let it sit. Just let it sit for all of us.
Yo, I'm about to piss people off right now, but I'm being real right now.
Oh, what's this realness?
Uncharted.
Oh.
We don't need it anymore.
I'm okay with that.
I actually said that this generation, like, we don't need another Uncharted. We're good.
I'm okay with that.
The way Uncharted 4 ended, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It has a finality to it, you know? Yeah. So, I agree with that. Well, we already said Mass Effect. Doesn't need to come back.
Yeah, what else doesn't need to come back?
Well, maybe.
But don't we need another Uncharted game to tell us that the girl at the end of Uncharted 4 is actually Lara Croft?
No, we don't. what else? Because this question is kind of mean-spirited.
Is it mean-spirited? I don't know. I mean, you know,
It's ish.
You know? Because we don't want to tell companies, you know, unless the game's really bad. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, you know, here's the thing. Like,
see, I could get salty right now. Like, no more Fortnite.
Here's the thing. They're not going to make any more Fortnites. The only Fortnite you're going to see is the Fortnite that exists. So
that is true.
It's not a franchise officially.
They're not releasing another Fortnite. They're just going to keep updating the same shit.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be the same thing. So I would say, certain games are just like, when we say Uncharted, right? Here's the thing, like, Uncharted didn't really necessarily end badly, but I think it felt like that finality to it where it's like, okay, I'm good with not having any more, you know? Yeah. And I felt like, at least, you know, Sketch mentioned Metal Gear. I'm like, yeah, I feel that too, where it's like, it feels that finality to it. So I don't think we need any more right now. And until we somehow figure out we're going to make a sequel to that doesn't make everybody angry.
Oh, man. All right. What other games or the franchises do you not want to see come back next generation?
Need for Speed. They're going in another direction. Do the Burnout series. Just grab the whole Need for Speed and
Burnout is a given.
Yeah, you know, Burnout needs to come back.
You know, I don't know why they don't just do like one up, one down. Like, in other words, one year you have
EA.
I know, but it's like, why couldn't you do like one year it's the Need for Speed year, and then the next year, oh shit, it's the Burnout year.
They got to put all their money on Anthem. That's why.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say something kind of stupid, but hear me out.
Whoa.
The Witcher.
Call of Duty.
I'm with Brett on this one.
Bring that shit 3-4 times every year. I need at least 3-4 of them. Battle Royale version. Just
Call of Duty. That's what I'm saying. Call of Duty has almost too much baggage attached to the name now. It's had good ones. It's had bad ones. Granted, it's recognizable, but I feel like a brand change. Like, you can do, like, reinvent a war title, reinvent something with brand new physics, brand new game modes, take a different approach to the same original intent, and reinvent the game. You can still keep the day-to-day competitive spirit going and the infinite matches and having it be essentially an esport. Like, you can keep all that intact. I just feel like there's so much baggage attached to Call of Duty.
That's the next one. The one that's coming out. It's all revamped. It's all new.
So what you're saying, Brett, is just to bring back Medal of Honor.
Yeah, we saw what happened when they brought that one back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree. Call of Duty needs to go away. But I've been saying that for a while, so don't listen to me.
I don't mean it to take the game that everybody likes and take it away. I just meant, like, here's the thing. I feel like most game series become derivative of themselves after a while. So after, like, 8 installations, there's all these weird arbitrary rules of things you do just because it's always been that way from the first iteration. I'm not sure Adam would probably be able to tell me better if Call of Duty is able to successfully completely reinvent itself, or is it still stuck to some of the main tropes that the series has always held?
It's able to do it because there's three different studios. So there's some studios that just stick with what they know, and then there's others like what we're seeing now with the new one that they're like, you know, fuck it, we're just going to change everything. We're going to make it gritty. We're going to make it real. People are going to hate it, but others are going to accept it and be like, all right, we see where you're going with this, because there's only one other way you can go. You either went overboard to the extreme where they're flying in space and doing unbelievable shit, or you go into the realism. And that's what they're going with this one. They're like, you know what, we're going to make that gritty. Is that kid running across the street with a gun? Do you want to shoot the kid or not?
Well, the Call of Duty audience is extremely fickle. Like, it's like they release Advanced Warfighter and they all fucking go rage on that game. They're like, no, we want Call of Duty the way Call of Duty is or used to be.
I used to think that too until we started seeing these numbers and fucking people still buy this shit. You know, that's what
they bought it, and then they still buy it.
Like,
here's what I don't get: why isn't anybody made? I feel like we haven't made any progress in shooting games in probably two generations. Ever since we got the ability for like not just basic character model damage but limb damage, we stopped moving forward. And there's games like Rage that every once in a while they'll put in like really good reaction animation. So if you shoot somebody in the left shoulder, their left shoulder wings back. But none of that is represented in something like Call of Duty. And I realize
Rainbow people Six. Might
think it's kind of bullshit. But Rainbow like, Six did it?
Yeah, they did a lot.
You recoil if you get shot. You
recoil, then also with the shooting within the walls, and then you can peek through the hole in the wall. And then they added a lot of cool. It's just, you know, they don't really talk about it, but that's all new. And then that gameplay, it's like night and day when you compare what you're doing in Rainbow Six to Call of Duty.
Rainbow Six is also trying to be a little bit more simulation than most.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in action games, though, like, I'd still, like, even if I'm playing, like, a fucking Destiny match or a Halo match, God only knows, like, I kind of want, like, if I get hit by a bullet, I don't just want to hear, like, oof, five times and see, like, five red flashes and my health drop. Like, I would kind of like if somebody would be able to knock my ass down by shooting me with a 357.
Put it on veteran mode. You're done.
I don't mean kill me. I mean just literally knock me out. Like, boom, there goes your there goes your bulletproof armor, and your character body actually like falls. Like, so the shit that we see in cinematic mode. Like, it's so weird that anytime you see a first person shooter in cinematic mode, like they get shot, and you see them recoil and like fall down, like roll around and crawl. Like, why can we not do that shit now? Like, I don't think there are technical limitations holding us back from having that many character animations blend that seamlessly into each other.
Do you think that also might have to do with the you know, reactivity of gameplay? Like, people might, you know, like, you know, people kind of came down on Killzone a while ago, you know, like, I think Killzone 3 or 2 or one of them, I think it was 3, where they essentially had semi-realistic physics on all of the weapons and all of the movement, you know? And everybody was like saying, oh man, the game is not as reactionary as we thought it, you know, as it should be, when it really was trying to be more simulation where, you know, when you run, you know, certain things happen, stuff like that. Like, the guns move like supposedly like real guns.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it is that people wouldn't be receptive to it, but I would absolutely love a game where if you shot somebody in the arm, like in the right arm, like their arm would fly back and they'd drop their gun. Like, I'd be fucking disarming people.
Sniper Elite does that also. Sniper Elite.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. There's little games that do one or two of these things as kind of a game gimmick. I'm surprised that these haven't been all tied together into what would be the holy grail of shooters. And I'm like, why hasn't this happened yet? We've shown independently we can do all of these things.
Metal Gear did it. Metal Gear 2. All the Metal Gears do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where essentially you shoot a guy's arm, you can shoot the gun out of their hand. You know, if you shoot a guy in the leg, they'll start limping around. That's all Metal Gear 2 stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, but it wasn't two, but few. But you're right, Brad. Few people have brought that up. I think it's because gamers don't really care about that, which is really weird. You know, it's like
I think it's one of those things. It's like, hey, that's a really cool option, but I don't think a lot of people just really. Most people just want to shoot center mass and just get it over with.
Lord of the Rings one. Remember that one where it's the same type of thing? You can beat the shit out of that, shoot the guy, and he'll come back all bandaged up.
Oh, Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one got a little weird. Like, I literally decapitated a guy.
And he came back
with his head back on.
Yeah, he had like a neck brace and shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, nah, dude.
Neck brace. I'm like, all right, this is fine, but y'all need to put some lore in the game that talks about exactly how regenerative orcs are. Because, like, I'm a big nerd, and so, like, I'm like, okay, so the a lot of times, like, orcs are made from, like, a vat. Like, that, like, maybe it's Warhammer style, where, like, there's just this big vat, they just run and, like, dump the body parts into the vat, and it kind of reforms them. It's kind of like a weird Lazarus pit kind of thing. Like, but again, you don't know if that's canonical in that universe, so really all the universe canonical in that universe is, like, they were at one point elves, and now they're not elves anymore, and you're not really sure how they reproduce, because none of them are female. So, question mark?
Yeah, it's weird.
So that I only get beef when it doesn't make a narrative type of sense. Also, like, it does go too far. Like, man, I love Fallout survival mode, but really, do you have to weigh every bullet that I have? Because, I mean, that makes things really hard. And I don't like having to be like, hey, I'm just going to throw these bullets away because they weigh too much. Do you know any idea of how much, like, if you were actually backpacking through the wasteland with an automatic weapon, you would have to have an entire backpack of ammo.
Oh, man.
And that would weigh, like, 150 pounds worth of just bullets.
Oh, isn't that what the new Ghost Recon? Isn't that what they said they were going for also? With, like, if you get shot in the leg and then you're limping, and if you have too much on you, you're moving slow. We'll see if they actually implement all that.
Yeah. Anyway,
it'll be the video game version of that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. G Mega Force 1, 2, 3. Do you care? This is going to be a controversial one. Okay. Do you care if your consoles are made with unethical labor practices? It is rumored that Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo are looking to move more console production to other countries like Vietnam, and some companies like Nike are notorious for using Vietnam labor at 20 cents an hour to make Nike shoes. Does this bother you?
They're still making money. That's still a job for them. And I know it sucks for us to hear that, but that's work for them, those areas. So it sucks, but they need it. They look forward to that work. It may not sound like a lot of money, but it's enough for them, and it's a job.
I mean, so. Adam brings up the exact reason why it's more complicated than most people think that it is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of people think, like, oh, I'm just going to – first of all, I'm like Nike. I'm just going to buy the shoes and then set them on fire. You're a fucking idiot. But even not buying them can have consequences. It's not like the company is just going to move. You're still putting people out of work. So it morality through product buying and things like that becomes very gray and very tricky. Like, how do you know how well sourced your apples are? How nice they are to the apple farmers? How do you know how nice the apple farmers are to the actual area? Like, you could go down that rabbit hole forever. But I will say that if there is blatant human rights violations, I'm going to try and not give that company my money.
Yeah, I would say that.
The blatant stuff. And Brett, I'm glad you brought up the point of, like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because I'm pretty sure everything you buy has some shady shit somewhere down the line. You know what I'm saying?
It does. It does. You cannot get away from immorality when you have a global economy the way that we do. Someone along the line has been kind of screwed over.
Yeah, there's a reason so many products are made in China.
Yeah, like, it's fucked up, but that's just the way it is, you know.
But I mean, if you look at the, you know, the industry, you know, of Shenzhen, China, where a lot of electronics are made, like, there are whole livelihoods of people out there that make all these different things out there. There's a guy on YouTube, which I suggest you guys should watch, who called Strange Parts. This guy lives out in Shenzhen, China, and he's, like, just showing off all these different industries out there and, like, how they work and a lot of the different parts and stuff they make. There's, like, literally whole towns devoted to making paintings. You know, there are towns that are just devoted. There are whole malls that are just
cell phones and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, devoted to making one little tiny part inside of a cell phone. So it's like, so you have these people. You have these, and for them, these are this industry. Works for them, right?
Yeah, and also before a lot of these people get your panties in a wad, when you hear these workers are working for 13 cents a day, yeah, because they work in a really poor country who has no money, and the conversion rate is absolutely insane. Like, you hear they work for $13 a day, politicians make like 50 cents a day. Like, it's everybody in that country is poor in comparison to America. So the exchange rate is insane. And so that's why labor is usually sourced to these countries. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're getting paid what we would consider 13 cents a day. Like 13 cents a day is not enough to buy a fucking slice of bread. 13 cents a day there will get you significantly more. Now, still not saying it's not, still not saying it's great. Still not saying it's perfect, but it's more nuanced than a lot of people think that it is. So where I draw the line is, what are the working conditions like?
Exactly. Like you have like people, situations like in Foxconn, right, where people were essentially killing themselves because of the insurance that they would get, mm-hmm. from the accident insurance on the job to help their families out. So they were literally killing themselves to get more money.
And you don't even have to look that far to see companies mistreating their employees. Look at the Amazon and mm-hmm. over at their distribution centers and hearing how these people can't even take bathroom breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and Amazon, that's a perfect example. Let's say somebody in Dubai, you guys all know where Dubai is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody in Dubai was making a commercial talking about the exploitation of poorer countries and their Amazon workers who only make $15 an hour. Like they work for so little in hot warehouses. Like it would be the same kind of thing when you're looking at a country that like has that much money to say that these people are working in these harsh conditions for a fraction of what they consider is normal. It's ghastly. Now, I'm not saying Amazon is great by any means. It's not great. It is kind of fucking awful, and the working conditions there are terrible. That being said, you're making $15 an hour, and the reason they can treat you like that is because there's a whole line of people waiting for that job. Mm-hmm. It's a shitty job, but I'm going to hold back my personal opinion on this one a little bit, but it's a shitty job that you're getting paid for that a lot of people want. So I've had those jobs. They're not great. A lot of people don't want to work them. If there's a line of people around the block wanting that job, is it really the worst job in the world?
People also have to think of where it's located. It might sound horrible, but in that area, in that location, it is like one of the best jobs.
Yeah, sometimes there are sometimes the steel mill closed down. Sometimes the only option is there or McDonald's. I mean, like, because I've been there. Like, I didn't get to go to college. I'm lucky that I managed to find myself in a tattoo career, but before that, I worked a slew of service jobs, and a lot of them way worse, and a lot of them for way less money. And you know what? That shit's kind of normal. So yeah, it's bad, and they probably deserve better work conditions, but it's not this giant human rights violation. Like, you ever seen the people? You ever seen how they treat the kids at McDonald's? You want to see human rights violations? Go look at people in like Hot Topic in like the late 90s. They had a stack of applications 6 feet tall. They would fire people for blinking wrong or sneezing wrong. Like there are so many. Look at companies that are applied to so much that they consider their employees disposable, and there you'll see damn near human atrotities.
Yeah, like, places like GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. places, you know, a bunch of places. You know, the thing about like Amazon, go on to that
IGN.
So that section of things, my girlfriend actually worked there, and she said the conditions the conditions that they're talking about, they're not any new. She used to work at an Amazon factory, and she said it was the same shit. And she used to just clean the floors.
Yeah, that's the same with literally every distribution and shipping warehouse. If you work for UPS, like it's always been well known, like, yeah, UPS sucks. You haul boxes at a 100-degree warehouse. Because they're not air conditioning that bitch. But you know what? They give you credit for college tuition. They pay $15 an hour. They generally don't work you for more than 6 to 8 hours at a time. So, and like they generally don't let you like pass out and die. Like that's a line you don't want to cross.
The Amazon thing was the one where they left the lady's body on the ground.
Yeah. And that definitely crosses a line. But like say like, oh, we work in a giant giant warehouse and it's not air conditioned. It can get up to 110 in there. Yeah. That's how literally every distribution center warehouse is. You think they air condition all those bitches? They do not. It is a shitty job, which is the reason you're getting paid twice what the other people are. Because the people at McDonald's makes $7.50 an hour because that's minimum wage. You're making $15 an hour. You're making twice what they're making. Do you think your job should be easier than theirs? Do you think it should be better than theirs? Mm-hmm. Do you think you're more qualified than them? Because you don't have to be qualified to haul boxes. I'm sorry if I'm hurting somebody's feelings here. You don't work in an Amazon warehouse because you're a specialist. And I say this as somebody who went to college. Like, it takes zero experience to haul boxes on a grunt level. And when you get out of the grunt level, they give you a nice little air-conditioned office or a forklift or something. Like, you, it sucks, but you don't have a lot of exploitable skills, and you're getting paid twice what they're requiring you to pay. You're, something about that is going to suck. That's just, that's the law of physics and nature.
Yeah, I want to read something, a couple of things that Sketch said. Talking about, you know, Vietnam. He goes, 20 cents in Vietnam is more than most people make full benefits to. I got a homegirl working there. She says it makes it worth it to get dental and dental vision and such. So they're getting benefits, you know, like,
yeah,
20 cents to us is like, yo, 20 cents, what the fuck? 20 cents over there takes them a long way, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad he asked this question because we could get more into nuance because people just want to, you know, see, they just see these numbers. They look at the surface level.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not one to one, man. It's not one to one, you know? Schedule says, I was getting paid $21 an hour working at a rubber smelting plant. At night, it was 118 degrees on the inside.
Shit.
But you were making $21 an hour, though, you know?
That's it. They're compensating for that hardship.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
believe it or not, there are people out there who take pride in being willing to do hard, difficult, shitty work in order to make a good amount of money to put food on the table for their family.
Sewer
there are people
cleaners
out there who be like, yeah, I get up at 5 a.m. to go work a shit job in a steel mill. I sweat my ass off. I come home swelling, like smelling like Satan's asshole, put my feet up on the couch just long enough after I've taken a shower to eat a warm dinner with my family in the house that I fucking paid for.
You know,
because I'm up at catch, steel mill fishermen.
At 5 a.m.
Yep. There you go,
going
man.
Out there for months trying to catch crab.
Yeah. They're not forced there. They're there because they're pursuing an opportunity.
Yeah.
They don't like it, but they want to be there. It's a choice. Yeah, the same way, like, when I took my tattoo apprenticeship, I didn't get paid. I had to be there 60 hours a week, fucking sweeping cigarette butts, soaking wet in the freezing rain in January. Granted, it didn't have to be that way, but that's the way things were. And at the time, yeah, it sucked, but I wanted to be there. I chose to be there because I was building a future for myself, hopefully for my family. It was a choice I made. Not everything should be fucking easy. But again, like, don't let people die. Don't whip people. Don't like club people if they don't meet their quota and you know, have public beatings and shit. Like, don't break basic human laws of decency. But I'm sorry if your job sucks and they're paying you more than they need to. Am I a cold-hearted asshole on this one?
No.
I don't think so. I think
just in general, but.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in general. I mean, Manny's the victim of this. I mean, let's be honest. Artists are underpaid because there are so many people wanting to get into the industry.
Oh, yeah. Number
same for video game journalists.
I mean, there's so many people that want to do art and stuff for a living. And you, I mean, unless you have something that some of the other guys don't, you're a dime a dozen. They're just waiting to replace you with somebody else. And I said this one time on my Facebook. I'm like, you know, as a colorist in the comics industry, you are kind of the redheaded stepchild, and you will instantly get replaced no matter who the fuck you are. And I don't care who, if you're top dog, they'll just find some guy who colors exactly like you, and the readers will never know the fucking difference.
That's true.
And that's the way the work goes. Most people, you know, there's a small percentage of people that are actually really successful at doing artwork for a living, you know, professionally. The rest, everybody's working their ass off to try to get that, to get to that point where they don't need to worry too much about the things they do, you know, worry about the you know, how much they're getting paid and stuff like that, where you can live comfortably.
Yeah, they'll do a lot of shitty jobs for the exposure, you know?
Exactly. You know, some people ask these questions like, oh, man, why did you take that job? Why did you do that job? It's like, Why the fuck not? I needed the money. I needed the money. You want to throw. Everybody wants to throw this sort of like magical thing into this. Yes. At some point, when you get to a point where people trust your abilities and trust your skills, yes, you have the ability to pick and choose the things that you want to do. Otherwise, yo man, you're drawing fucking Teletubbies for a living.
Well, and that's
the way it's going to be.
It's hard work. It's harder than you need to. So, I mean, Manny, would I be wrong in saying that you work twice as long as you probably should for about half of what you're actually worth?
Yes.
So I could make a sad piano music commercial with black and white photos of Manny looking up from a Sadiq at 2 a.m. and spout the same fucking message, because it's honestly true. And to a certain audience, it's going to come across as even more depressing than it actually is.
Oh yeah,
it's hard out there for people like that.
But yeah, you put the heart of an angel, and I look up at the screen with puppy dog eyes. Yeah.
By the way, 2 a.m. is early for Manny.
You know? 2 a.m. is early for me, man. Sometimes I'm going to bed at when the sun is fucking coming up. That's sometimes how much I'm working during the day. I mean, right now I'm doing double duty. I'm heading up to New York City every single day, 5 a.m. in the morning. Get home at like 10 o'clock at night, and what do? Come back to this table and do some more work until at least 2.
But Manny, are you being forced to do this?
No, I'm not being forced to do it. I'm doing
saved?
What was that?
Do you need saved?
Do I need saved to be saved?
Yes.
No, I don't need to be saved. I'm just doing. Here's the thing. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for two reasons. Well, you know, obviously there's things that you make obligations to and you have to do them. But the thing is, like, you know, the other opportunity that me going to the city is actually a very good opportunity. I'm getting paid a full-time salary for that thing. So if it means that I have that sort of, that safety net, at least for a few more months of just having consistent pay, I'll fucking take that shit.
You know? All right, man. With that, we'll move on to the next question. Are there any games that made you wish you knew Japanese?
Oh, a lot of games, I would say that.
All right, yeah. So which ones?
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, like...
All the Japanese games.
The lawyer one? What was it? Was it Professor Layton? Is that it?
No, not Professor Layton. No, you probably think
Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright.
I would say, you know, like any of the Final Fantasy games or like, you know, not a Final Fantasy, like JRPGs, you know, some of the games that never been translated into English, that'd be great to learn to know Japanese for those games.
Shout out to Sub Gator.
Mr. Gator, yeah, man. That dude is serious. He was talking, during a Monster Hunter session, we had a Japanese player with us and he was communicating with that dude.
Yo, man, I'm like, man, I wish I knew Japanese. Is it Sub Gator or Sub Gita?
I call him Sub Gator.
Sub Gator. I am. It just looks like Gator, you know, like from.
I assume it was an amalgamation or a jamming together of Sub Zero and Vegeta. It kind of is. Well, I don't know about the Sub Zero, but it has to do with Dragon Ball. He told us one time about his name. How did he pronounce it?
Shit, I don't remember.
I don't remember. That was a
it might be Sub Gita. I don't know.
But it was like I think it had to do something about fusion and Vegeta was one of the characters and yeah. See, I think it'd be awfully hilarious if we've been saying his name on the podcast wrong for years.
Well, that would be funny. It is also a screen name, so.
Yep, I don't think he cared though when we still because Manny was the one that started saying Mr. Gator.
I call him Mr. because it looked like because it looks like Gator. Plus, Mr. Gate is awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I can't really think of any. Like, I've never played a game that made me wish I knew Japanese. Like, maybe. Like, no. What am I talking about? Back in the day with Street Fighter. Like, what the fuck are they saying? Yeah, those maybe. And Virtua Fighter. Yeah, those 90 fighting games, they made me want to know Japanese. I'm like, what the fuck are they saying?
Yeah, yes. But, every single character, with the exception of Jackie and. Jeffrey and Sarah spoke Japanese. Don't you want to know what?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, exactly. You know.
What the hell that mean?
Yeah, and then Samurai Showdown. Yeah, those games. Because I was thinking about RPGs. Like, dude, who cares? You know. But yeah, for fighting games, I wanted to know Japanese. You know, because they never translated it. Like RPGs, they already translated for you, so you're good. No, you know what I'm saying?
We're talking about Japanese RPGs that never came there.
Oh, yeah, those. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
There's a shitload of those that have never reached the West.
Yeah, no, so you definitely want to know Japanese.
I mean, come on, the first, you know that freaking Secret Word of Mana is a sequel, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I heard about that years later, that's right, yeah, that's
the
right.
The original one never came out.
Crazy, man. All right, moving on. No, I hear somebody's door creeping, man.
That's a
screen door.
Somebody's about to get killed right now, man. Shit. Hey, Brett, are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I didn't get murdered.
Okay, good. Because the next question is for you, man. This one is from, he changed his name, but I can't say this one, even though it's pretty funny. Jim Sterling's Bathwater.
Oh, shit.
God. All right. What are, Brett, you're going to get ready. What are Brett's thoughts? And I promise you, I didn't tell this man to ask this question. This just happened naturally. What are Brett's thoughts on the Switch Lite? That's the first part of it. So,
oh God.
Go ahead.
I think we need to brace ourselves for this one.
There's a
roll
second.
Down that road. That would be good, though. I mean, I think it's great. So,
Well, Adam, we heard everybody's thoughts except for Brett. So, Brett,
I wasn't here.
Oh, okay. So both you, guys can chime in then. But Brett first, because the question is directly. But you guys can go. Go ahead, Brett. Go off.
Okay. So. I'm going to start by not keeping any other seeds. My conclusion is I was searching real hard for the word because there's a certain nuance that you need to make sure that you capture in this kind of situation. And the word I landed on was retarded.
Oh, shit.
This is a fucking Game Boy. I refuse to call it anything other than a Game Boy. By all logical ideas, it is a Game Boy. Everything up until the DS was a Game Boy. The DS had two screens. This does not have two screens. Ergo, it is a goddamn Game Boy. It is not a Switch. It is not a Switch. It doesn't switch. It doesn't make the clicky sounds. It doesn't do anything a Switch can do. That's the thing that drives me. It can play Switch games, but literally everything they've shown in every one of their stupid goddamn rooftop party commercials is the ability to at least set the thing down and remove a Joy-Con so you can have another person play with you. What the fuck? Am I expected to carry around a second set of Joy-Cons on the off chance that some 8-year-old wants to play fucking Mario Kart with me randomly on a plane? Fuck you! No! It was fine when I already had the thing built in and somebody's like, hey man, can I get on this? Nah man, but I got another game we can play. Let's play some Mario Kart. Cool, let's do it. That was fine. It had multiple functionality. It wasn't just the docking portion. It was the ability to remove the Joy-Cons that were integral to the whole experience that they were trying to sell. But oh yeah, let's talk about the lack of a dock for a second. It doesn't have the ability to fucking dock. Why? I don't know. They could have fused it in one thing and still let it dock. But no, they want to make it so that you can't dock. Maybe to sell you another peripheral? No, fuck you. Why? Because we're Nintendo and we don't want to let the thing dock. At all, for no reason. Nor do we want to have the Joy-Cons, which are the notoriously most shitty piece of hardware Nintendo has ever made. They're known for quality material, but the Joy-Cons break up like a fucking boy band from the 90s. You put a little bit of pressure on them, they just fucking snap. They get drifting issues. What the fuck happens when this bricks your whole system? And that's all just the actual technical issues. I'm not even talking about the fucking social issues I was talking to Tony about. Wait until, oh yeah, your parents want to save $100 to get you the cheap-ass Switch. That's great, because this thing is for kids. Oh, so here's your new fancy all-in-one Switch Lite, and here's your sign to go to school with that says, I'm the poor kid. Way to go. It's like bringing GoBots to a Transformers party. Like I told Tony, like, okay, great. I'm going to play with Optimus Prime. You go over there and play with that guy that nobody's ever fucking heard of before, because nobody wants you to play GoBots. We're all trying to play Transformers. Bumblebee is twice the size of this motherfucker. I don't know what the fuck you're trying to do here. Trying to bring off-brand G.I. Joes in and play with Snake Eye? Who's this guy? He's Buzzcut. Who the fuck is Buzzcut?
Buzzcut?
Damn.
Like, and that shit matters to kids. And I'll grant you, it doesn't matter to adults. This thing may be for the adults who just wanted to buy the DS for the cheap so they could play the odd game and then toss it away when they're not using it. And for that, I might understand this, except for, again, you are locked into the Joy-Cons that have inherent problems. So unless they've magically just re-engineered the Joy-Cons to suddenly work somehow, which they're if they Joy-Con. Did, which if they did, fuck you, Nintendo. But if they suddenly manage to make all the problems of those things go away, but they still have them in the Joy-Cons, fuck you. If they suddenly fix the Joy-Cons just in time for this thing to come out, also fuck you, Nintendo. So no matter really how you cut it, I think this thing is ill-conceived, stupid, hurts their brand, and is a bad idea generally. If these, if the Joy-Cons on this thing start drifting, or if the thumbsticks on this thing start drifting the way that the Joy-Cons do, this will be a Red Ring of Death type situation. This will be a brand damaging thing for Nintendo. And with the good grace that they've slowly clawed back, that is a very risky move. And I do not understand why they would do this, all to bring the SKU down $100. In the age where we're living, we're like, oh yeah, Brandon over there is bringing his iPad to class. Meanwhile, Steve over here is bringing his Switch Lite because his parents couldn't spring the extra $100 so that he might be able to play with one of his friends anymore. But that doesn't matter because he doesn't have any friends because he's the poor kid who has a Switch Lite. I think that's about the most of my thoughts. That's about the stuff I went over with you, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, pretty much. That, you know, but you did it. I read all this shit too, but you know, we had to hear that Brett passion, you know. But yeah, that's right, Adam. You weren't on the show, so what are your thoughts on the Switch Lite?
I think it's great. This is a moneymaker. This is exactly what they do. They did this with the 2DS, which wasn't a 3DS, and it sold like hotcakes. This is going to sell like hotcakes. It's not Joy-Cons. It is attached. It is a Game Boy. It's not a Switch. But the Switch is a brand, and they want to sell the name that way, and that's it. That's how people know it. You know, younger kids, this is great. It's solid from what I've heard of people that actually held it. They said it feels very solid and sturdy. They've dropped it a few times just to feel it. It doesn't feel flimsy like the way the current Switch with the Joy-Cons and how that works. They're not Joy-Cons. It is built all on. So this is a legit handheld.
But it's still behind the Joy-Con buttons.
But did they drop it in Manny's carpet though?
Right? Manny's carpet, who knows? Right?
Manny's carpet will break that shit.
This is great for people that, whether they just want something to play like Pokemon on the go or something and didn't really care about investing money and carrying something bigger, because it is smaller. You know, I could see a lot of little kids. You're talking about kids bringing it to school. A lot of kids can't bring any shit to school. That's all cheating. That's why they can't bring iPads and phones and stuff. You know, so they're not bringing this to school, and most kids don't give a shit. When you're talking about high school and stuff, yeah, of course they're at that point. But for little kids, we're talking about elementary, even some junior high school, no, they don't give a shit. They're just going to be playing games. You know, so $200, not to worry if your kid breaks it or chucks it around or steps on it. Fuck yeah. You know, this is going to sell like hotcakes.
Adam, buying them for your kids, bro?
Damn right.
So you like the idea of it for Nintendo's monetary purposes, but do you, like, what about for you?
Well, no, it's not for me. That's the thing. It's not for us. For us is the Switch. That's for us. This is for kids. This is for people that want to get into this ecosystem on the cheap, that don't really give a shit, don't really want to care too much, don't care about the doing Joy-Cons and plugging into a TV. They have no plans of ever doing that shit. You know, then yeah, go ahead. Can we get your money? That's what this is. Can we get your money? You want to give us some money? Okay, then there you go. So it's going to work. I'm telling you, see these goofy colors that came out with? And one of them, shit, was the old Game Boy color, that gray. I was like, holy shit. I might want one just to put up on the wall just for that. You know, so I'm all for it. You know?
Whoa, hold on. You're willing to spend $200 to put something on the wall for nostalgic value, but not willing to spring the extra $100 to get your kid the nice version of the thing you already got?
My kid will break that other one. They will lose a Joy-Con. They will break it. I don't trust them. At you all with this shit, with this one, yeah, $70 every time. No, thank you. I have two kids that throw shit all over the place. I don't need that. I don't need it. They break remotes as it is for the TV, and I'm gonna have them give two little joy. No, not happening. So with this, it's all solid. It's just like how they have with the 2DS. That's solid. That shit gets stepped on. That gets kicked down the stairs. My little boy tries to carry it down. He drops it. Boom, 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 boom. Tumbles down. No, not happening. That's why with $200 and it's solid and it's sturdy. That's the one thing that I heard a lot when people that actually held it is that it feels sturdy. It feels like it was meant to get tossed around in a bag, get tossed around on the floor, and not worry about it. And that's good. That's fine. So that's what it's for. And it's going to sell like hotcakes. It's not for us, though. It's not. And they know it. It's not for us. This is nothing new. We've seen them do it, like I said, with the 3DS. When they did the 2DS. Remember with the one they couldn't even fold? That looked like shit. And it still sold like hotcakes. I'm like, what the hell is this? It's like a big board. And it still sold. It was horrible. So if that sold, this is definitely going to sell. You know? So.
Yeah, I think it'll sell also. But man, I hate this concept.
It's not for us. The next one will be for us.
Well, it's just in general, like
the Switch Pro will be for us.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But like, think about it like this: why couldn't they just do a new Switch iteration, like a little bit some improvements, and keep the $300 price point, and put the old Switch into the $200 or maybe $250 or something like that.
Why couldn't they have just sold it without a dock? The dock is $80.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when they were having issues with manufacturing and getting parts? It could be something else that we're not seeing. And no, like, you know what? Let's just go this route. This is on the cheap.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, this is cheap to manufacture. I mean, I see Adam's point. It's just for us, it's not a good buy. Nope. It's not because I love playing stuff on the TV. So this is not like absolutely it's out of the question. But yeah, for little kids, yeah, absolutely. So Nintendo knows that they wouldn't have made this SKU without the research. They know, like he said, people bought the 2DS, like kid, especially for kids, because that shit is hard to break. Like, you don't know how many times I would see in the repair shop, like they took us on tours, how many DSs were bent backwards. Like, kids would sit on them, like break the swivel and stuff. So that's why they made it like that, the wedge. But it's like, that's stupid. Like, we think it's stupid because it's like, nah, I just want to fold it, put it in my pocket, take it on the subway.
We're assuming that this is sturdy, and that's the thing that I'm talking about.
That's the reviews that I've seen. That's what I'm saying. They've held it. You've heard that they felt sturdy.
And here's the thing I'm rebuking on that. They've taken apart the Joy-Cons to figure out the reason for the drift issues, and it has to do with the contact on the back of the buttons getting worn down and causing inaccurate.
You keep calling it a Joy-Con. This is built on the board.
The joystick. Excuse me. It is the back contacts of the D-pad and the joystick are inherently flawed. And that's why the DIY community has pulled out. Like, if you
they put a real D-pad. Did you see it? They put a real D-pad on this one on the left.
Yeah, yeah. But unless they're using different contact material behind it, it's still going to wear down the same way. It's not the detachable part that wears down. It's the actual thumb stick wears down. Nintendo's design of a thumb stick does not have longevity, and this is a well-known issue among professional reviewers. Is that not right, Tony? The drift that comes in after a while?
Yeah, that happens.
So, like, it's not the fact that you can detach them. Their thumbsticks have problems. And when you can replace those thumbsticks, it's an irritating and expensive problem, but not a game-changing one.
So when we'll see when they break this system, one down. We'll see.
What yeah, I want to see exactly how this thing went.
Yeah,
oh, by the way, you can't. We talked about this on the Thursday show. We don't know if this thing has Bluetooth because I don't think you could use the Pro Controller with this shit because there's not even a stand you could use. You know,
no.
If you could use another set of Joy-Cons, then yeah, I'm assuming you can.
Yeah,
you don't know that you can use another set of Joy-Cons though.
You can. Yeah, they.
Oh, you can.
We had questions about that on Thursday, but I forgot where I saw it, but yeah, they said you can use your Joy-Con.
Okay, so can you use the Pro Controller too?
Why would you use a Pro Controller?
Because the Joy-Cons fucking suck. That's why.
No, I'm saying why would you use a Pro Controller on a fully contained unit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but like if that you're doesn't use have a Joy-Con, that doesn't. That doesn't have a stand. Well, that goes to my point that this is not for us. It's a shitty product for kids.
I think it's what it is purely is it is a handheld, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So with a handheld, what are you going to be missing? You're going to be missing motion. Not motion controls. You're going to be missing vibration.
You're going to be missing that too.
Yeah. You're going to be missing a bunch of different features. The motion sensing.
They said TBA, right?
Yeah. So,
TBA, yeah. Yeah, try completing some of those Zelda puzzles without motion controls, man.
Dude, you get. Right? Yeah. Okay, when you break it down, the amount of features that you don't get for that $100 less price tag, like, you don't get a dock, which is $80 right there.
Yeah. $70. Just be straight. $70.
I thought it was $80. Okay. It was $80 at launch.
Okay. It's $70 now. Yeah. Okay. So that's $70. You can't play with a second person out of the box, which you can do with the regular Switch. To do so, you would need to buy another pair of Joy-Cons. That's another $70. Okay. You can't feel vibrations or rumbles. To do so, you would have to buy a second set of Joy-Cons, which would be that same $70. So at the very least, you're losing $140 worth of features and saving $100.
And you can't do TV out.
Yeah.
You can't do TV out.
It's not about that. It's about the design, so that way kids can hold it and not break the shit. Because with the other one, even for the $100, they're still gonna break the Joy-Cons. They can't really hold the screen properly. Little kids with their hands can't do it. So I mean, it's the design. Yeah, it's some features they shouldn't have cut out, but the design is what's gonna help. That's what's gonna
sell. Yeah. By the way, I don't think we're questioning that this thing's gonna fucking sell. It's gonna sell. No one's questioning. Yeah, it's gonna sell.
Yeah, it's 60% of people who already have a regular Switch will buy this one.
Oh, but there's an issue with that though. There's an issue because if you do it, you have to set that as your primary then. Remember, it always has to be online. Your secondary always has to have an online connection, so that way it knows that you're not playing it the same game on multiple devices. So if you want that to be set as your primary for traveling, so if you have to switch the profile and have everything redirect.
So it's actually, it lives up to its name.
Yeah, man,
you switch. So then, yeah. And then you would have your standard Switch docked. So that way it's always home with an online connection and the whole thing. Because it's always going to need that online connection.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, unless you do a family plan. You know, if you create it and you add it and give it a whole new name. And
this is more complicated than the PC game.
Yeah, exactly. Again, your games, the only thing you're going to get are those NES games across the board. All the games you purchased, you would have to rebuy them on that one. So, yeah, it sucks on that respect if you plan on using it as a secondary, because it really becomes your primary. It can't be your secondary.
Yeah, and we talked about this thing selling. This shit comes out in September. And I think, like, when does Pokemon come out? There's going to be a Pokemon bundle for this
November?
Shit.
November? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like around November. So there's going to be a Pokemon bundle, and that shit's going to sell like crazy.
Oh, that's when the Xbox is going to get lapped.
Also, I also think that also another reason why I think this is going to work is because the DS in general is on the decline. Chris looked at the financials. So there's already going to be a handheld hole. There's going to be a handheld hole.
They fit it in your hands.
There's going to be a handheld hole.
Dirty.
There's going to be a handheld hole in the thing, and then now they can look into putting that in that place. So now it's just both the same console.
And plus, didn't they already announce there's going to be bundles? I saw something that said that it was going to be a game bundle already. So yeah, $200, but I'm sure there's going to be a $250 model if it comes with a game and does some shit. So for the holidays, you know, I could see them doing like a Mario Kart one, you know, just like they did with the 2DS, you know, or Odyssey or some shit like that.
Crazy. All right, man. And the last question of the night, who in the gaming industry would you love to see South Park roast in a gamer episode?
I haven't watched. Is that still around?
I haven't watched South Park in like 15 years, man. I have no idea.
No.
the main dude at Bethesda.
Oh, you Todd want Howard, yeah, Todd Howard. Todd yeah, yeah, Howard, there you go.
Take that guy down. The dude who runs the company that makes Borderlands.
Oh,
that guy.
Oh, Randy Pitchford.
Randy Pitchford. That guy. Roast that dude.
Yeah.
There's a plenty of, you know, always Peter Molyneux. You can always throw that guy in there under the bus.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, because the last thing I saw from South Park was the movie, right? I just got to do a correction. I haven't seen South Park in 20 years. So there you go. Is that
was
show,
a, that was a
1999, man?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's a
Yeah, June 30th, 1999. And I was like, oh, the animation's never going to get better, is it?
It's not going to get any better. That's the crappiness is the character.
Yeah, I know. Because I was like, you know, it just looked too, I'm sorry, the show looked horrible. I couldn't stand it, you know? But yeah, I'm going to go with everything you guys just said. Who else would be a fun person to roast? Because I don't know how their roasting episodes go.
They kind of like, if there any way they do, like, they'll have a character that's from that company, just you know, and just goofing on them. They do, you know, like what they did with Tom Cruise, or what they did with, you know, a couple
Kanye of West,
oh, Kanye okay. West, stuff like that.
It'll be like that.
Who's the president of VA?
Oh God,
roast him.
Yeah,
Andrew House or whatever his name is.
No, not Andrew House. It's
Andrew House.
Yeah, that's Sony.
That's Sony. Sorry,
I forgot the EA guy had like a German type of name, didn't he? I don't know. Yeah, roast those guys.
roast the dude who's
Bobby Kotick from Activision. There you go.
Yeah, Bobby Kotick from Activision. Roast the friggin' dude from Google Stadia, because that dude didn't get it.
No.
Number one, that dude has got a lot of history. You think he's some new dog in the race? But my man was at Sony at the one of the worst times at Sony. So I'm gonna say roast that dude too.
Boo this man.
Yeah, boo this man.
Yeah. I mean, listen, nobody's safe.
Oh, God. What's his name? The fucking Sean Murray.
Yeah, Sean Murray. He got it. Yeah.
Dig on Sean Murray.
Oh, they got to do Gabe Newell.
Yeah, Gabe, that would be Gabe funny. Newell. That would be funny.
I feel like they've already done Gabe Newell.
They probably have. We don't watch that show, you know?
But here's the funny thing, how connected to the pulse they are, because they will make fun of people like that.
Wait, hold on.
Are you going to talk about Sketch?
Yeah, what the hell? I don't know who he's referring to.
It's that, it's that guy at the Video Game Awards, the one that said, fuck you.
Oh, is that guy?
Fuck the Oscars or something.
Oh, okay. That's the guy from... No, fuck that. Get Jeff Keighley on, man. Roast him.
Yeah, get Jeff Keighley, yeah.
Oh, God. He just called him because I just imagine, like, yo, is there a Jeff Keighley show and he just has some like French sidekicks? Like,
oh, I know he's not a developer. I would love to see them roast Ninja, though.
Oh, that would be funny.
I'm surprised they haven't done it.
Hey, listen, they didn't say developer, they said a person in the gaming industry. So Ninja counts. Ninja counts.
Or you know, PewDiePie, you know,
there you go.
They can do like a sequel to. Did you guys watch the World of Warcraft South Park episode?
That was the last one I've seen. Damn, Sketch.
Yeah, that was the last one.
He goes, Ninja is already a joke.
Oh, damn.
Shit.
Roast Philip Mution, damn.
Yeah,
he roasted himself.
Can I just take a moment to say, I'm fucking pissed that Ninja is on all my goddamn Red Bull cans.
Okay, is he?
Oh, really? Jesus.
Is he?
Well, yeah.
Brad, turn the camera on. We got to see this shit. I
started getting ads on Twitter with Ninja where he was like, it was something to do with McDonald's and Uber Eats. It was like a triple one, and I was like, I wrote on Twitter, I'm like, you know, why am I getting ads with Uber Eats, Ninja, and McDonald's? And I'm like, Urge to Kill Rising. Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, Brett, Sketch says that's your fault for drinking battery acid.
Oh,
damn, son.
Oh, cold.
Yeah, Brett needs that shit, man.
That's his life oil.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's my goddamn no juice right there, man. I'm not sure what kind of plebeian red energy drink you drink.
Oh,
damn! He's like, hey, fuck. Look. All I'm saying is, you can enjoy Mountain Dew Code Red.
Damn, son.
Let's not let that slide, man. Mountain Dew is a joke of a soda, man.
Mountain Dew is fucking trash, man.
Mountain Dew,
but
is...
that's what Brett was getting at, though. Mountain Dew is bullshit. It's doo doo.
He won't let me, like, even sarcastically say that it's okay to drink Mountain Dew.
By the way, Brett, joke's on you. He says he doesn't drink energy drinks.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Like, what do you drink? Just, are you just like
Gatorade?
I just drink water.
For that deep down. Hey, man, don't hate on water, man.
Yo, man, he's drinking.
No, I'm just saying, like, there are some people who just drink water.
Yeah, there are.
Yo, man, he's got that gamer girl water. What are you talking about? Gamer.
I'm generally interested if it's like, yeah, no, I just drink Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Sweat by the way, Sketch, what you drinking, son?
What you drinking? He posted a picture of the crunk juice can.
He got that booty juice. Remember the booty juice?
Look at that bad dog.
He says, when I bend the elbow, I drink water. And that 1600. 1600? Am I missing something?
Is that tequila?
Is that tequila? Man, what you drinking, son?
Would you bend the elbow?
Yeah, you know, you bend your elbow to drink water. He's being fancy.
Yeah, like how do you drink the rest of the time? Like a bird?
Yeah, like I don't get that. Is he bend? Maybe he's using a fountain.
Do you drink the rest of the time with a straight arm? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, if you just, like, lean tequila. Back with a straight arm and just, like, tilt back.
Yeah, how do you even drink that? I'm trying to do the mechanics of it.
Yo, man, you drink a tequila? You Puerto Rican, son. You should be drinking that rum.
Yeah. Is Sketch Puerto Rican?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how you know this guy?
Don't... Oh, I know Sketch.
No, man, his Puerto Rican instincts is going off.
You know, we also have that. All Hispanic people have a sixth sense to knowing which Hispanic you are or what island you come from or what continent.
Yeah, it's his Manny tickle.
Yes, oh, yes, Manny's tickle, yeah. Well, it depends, you know, island Hispanics know that because all the mainland Hispanics, they all think, you know, for me, they think I'm white and shit. But our people, they know exactly what the fuck I am.
You know? Yeah.
It's hilarious. Better than the sippy straw you get with your Red Bull juice box. Dude!
talking about drinking tequila, like, motherfucker, you don't drink tequila all the time. Like, that is not your hydrating beverage. Don't try and weird flex on me because you drink.
Oh, shit.
I'm 35. I just bought a house, motherfucker. You ain't going to out-adult me.
Yeah, I can imagine that shit. Like, yo, man, I just want to relax. You know, like, yeah. I'm really hot today. Let me drink some tequila, you know?
Yeah, man, like oh, man, like, nah, man, I'm hard edge. Motherfucker, I'm sitting here ripping a bong with my mic on my mic on mute.
Your mic on mic. by the way, Brett, he goes, do you hydrate with Red Bull?
Nah, man. That's my late night drink.
Oh, man.
And actually, yeah, like it's my sip of drink. I don't drink much soda, so I kind of drink Red Bull instead.
Yeah, so. This is what we do with the fans, man. We have fun with you guys, man.
Yeah. No, hey, just I sip on Red Bull and then I drink a lot of juice.
There you go.
Yo, man.
Yo, gin and juice.
Got juice enough to go around.
Yeah.
Know the edge.
All right, man. I think we're done.
You know that song, Adam?
Yeah.
Let me get the.
Hold on, I gotta bend my elbow real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. All right, guys. So here's how you ask us questions for the show. Step one, join our Discord. Step two, on Discord, go to throw down your questions section. And step three, you submit those motherfuckers. Simple as that. Damn, Brad, you must have taken a big hit. Sure. Fuck. All right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the throw down Discord server and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to throw down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at throw down show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco and time joined by Emilio Lopez.
Rap snacks.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I mean, take care, everyone. Of course. I did the intro accent.
Oh, man. Yo, man, it's late. Carlos Romero.
Hey, people.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
And Adam Vale.
I do again.
Nice. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Peace out.